Today's broadcast of Bagels and Blessings has been previously recorded at an earlier time. Shalom Chaverim, that's Hebrew for hello, friends, and Shabbat Shalom, that's Hebrew for Sabbath peace. This is Ethel Chadwick. Welcome to another week of Bagels and Blessings. Today you'll hear my pre-recorded interview with Philip Cohen. I know you're going to love it. Stay with me and I'll be right back. Bagels and Blessings is a ministry of Congregation Shema Yisrael. We are a Messianic congregation made up of Jews and Gentiles who believe that Jesus, or Yeshua, is the promised Messiah. Our services contain Jewish liturgy and Davidic dancing, and we celebrate the Feasts of Israel. We meet at 250 Edgewood Avenue in Brighton, and our services are Saturday mornings at 10 a.m. Please join us for worship. And while you are in the building, be sure to check out the Fig Tree Messianic Bookstore and Gift Shop. Now open Mondays from 6 to 8 p.m., Tuesdays by appointment, Wednesdays from 3 to 8 p.m., Thursdays from 3 to 6 p.m., and up to 30 minutes after services on Saturdays. You can call the Fig Tree Bookstore at 585-484-7775. The Fig Tree Bookstore and Gift Shop is a great place for books, CDs, cards, jewelry, and so much more. So be sure to check them out when you visit Congregation Shema Yisrael. And now, when you make a purchase at the Fig Tree Bookstore, you can fill out a raffle ticket. Those names will be drawn for a prize from Bagels and Blessings. So those of you in the Rochester area, be sure to visit Congregation Shema Yisrael in the Fig Tree Bookstore and fill out your ticket for a chance to win a prize from Bagels and Blessings.
Shalom, Yerushalayim. Shabbat shalom, Shabbat shalom, Shabbat 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 shalom, Shabbat shalom, Shabbat shalom.
This is Jonathan Sattell, and you are listening to Bagels and Blessings.
Next up, here's Corey Keeler, previously known as Corey Bell, with Lev Shiloh, We Will Dance. And that's where Jonathan Sattell is right now, dancing on the streets of gold.
Thank you. lift up your hands and clap for joy. The time's drawing near when he will appear. And oh, we will stand by his side. A strong new spotless bride. Oh, we will dance on the streets.
Shalom. This is Corey Keeler with Lev Shalom, and you're listening to Bagels and Blessings.
You know, I really love that song, and it reminds me of conversations that I often have with people when we talk about the benefits of inviting Yeshua into your life, into your heart, the benefits of submitting to Him. Yes, part of it is so that you will dance on the streets of gold and you will have eternal life. But the other part of that is daily joy, daily victory, daily power and strength to cope with all the things that the enemy throws at us. And so, you know, again, it's partly to reach the goal of being with Him in eternity, but it's for today, for having that strength today to live for Him. Praise the Lord. This is Ethel Chadwick. Thank you so much for listening to Bagels and Blessings. Stay tuned for a great interview with Philip Cohen. Next up, Liberated Wheeling Wall with Yeshua's Name.
The blind men see and the lame men walk.
Oh, in Yeshua's name.
The dead are raised and sorrow tends to praise.
Oh, in Yeshua's name. Yeshua, Yeshua, Messiah, He has come to live and die and rise again to save His people from their sins. Hallelujah, God, to save His people from their sins.
Demons flee and captives are set free. Of God above.
Oh, in Yeshua's name. Yeshua, Yeshua, Messiah, He has come to live and die and rise again to save His people from their sins. Hallelujah, to save His people from their sins.
I'd like to thank Excellent Air Heating and Cooling for sponsoring Bagels and Blessings. Give them a call today at 585-889-7840. They're a family-owned and operated business. Their prices are fantastic. They will take care of your air conditioner in the summer and your furnace in the winter. Give them a call today because they love the Lord and they are excellent. Excellent Air Heating and Cooling. 585-889-7840. Recently, I rediscovered this beautiful song from Joshua Aaron. It comes from his CD, Live at the Garden Tomb, and it's called Spirit and the Bride. I think it's just absolutely beautiful.
Let the one who hears the Savior say, come. Let the one who is thirsty come. Behold the Alpha and Omega, beginning and the end. In Him we will never, never thirst again. say come. Let the one who hears the Savior say, come. Let the one who is thirsty come. Behold the Alpha and Omega, beginning and the end. Never thirst again. Aruach ve'akala omrim bo. Aruach ve'akala omrim bo, bo, bo. The Spirit and the Bride say come.
Bagels and Blessings is a ministry of Shema Yisrael Messianic Congregation. Your tax-deductible contributions will help keep this program on the air. Make checks out to Shema Yisrael, that's S-H-E-M-A-Y-I-S-R-A-E-L, and please put Bagels and Blessings on the memo portion of your check. Send your contributions to Bagels and Blessings, Post Office Box 192, Scottsville, New York, 14546-0192. And you're invited to come and experience Messianic worship in person, Saturday mornings at 10 a.m., 250 Edgewood Avenue in Brighton.
Next up, here's Ted Pierce with Shehekianu.
Shehekianu, v'kiyamanu, v'higianu, l'zman hazeh. Shehekianu, v'kiyamanu, v'higianu, l'zman hazeh. Blessed are you, O Lord our God, who has carried us to this day. Shehekianu, v'kiyamanu, v'higianu, l'zman hazeh. Preserve our life and defend your own, and you brought us to this season again. Shehekianu, v'kiyamanu, v'higianu, l'zman hazeh. Shehekianu, v'kiyamanu, v'higianu, l'zman hazeh. Blessed are you, O Lord our God, who has carried us to this day. Shehekianu, v'kiyamanu, v'higianu, l'zman hazeh. No shadow of turning in you. You are faithful to every generation. We can trust in you.
Shalom, y'all. This is Ted Pierce coming from Texas. Don't change that dial. You are listening to my fabulous friend Ethel Chadwick on Bagels and Blessings. Tune in every week for the best in radio. Thank you.
It's almost time for my interview with Philip Cohen, but right now, here's Steve McConnell. I love this song, Yom Shekelot Shabbat.
Yom Shekelot Shabbat. A time that is all Shabbat, a yom that is ever shalom, that will never yom shekulo Shabbat. The golden glow of two lights, escape the past, embrace tonight, candle flicker at dusk. Vaguely reveals God's gift for us. The day will come, believe the day will come. The day will come, be sure the day will come. Yom Shekelot Shabbat, a time that is all Shabbat. A yom that is ever shalom, that will never yom shekelot Shabbat. Unto Adam was entrusted creation, to his son HaShabbat is his kingdom. The day will come, believe the day will come. The day will come, be sure the day will come. Yom Shekelot Shabbat, a time that is all Shabbat. A yom that is ever shalom, that will never yom shekelot Shabbat. A time that is all Shabbat. A yom that is ever shalom, that will never yom shekelot Shabbat. A time that is all Shabbat. A yom that is ever shalom, that will never Shekelot Shabbat. A time that is all Shabbat. A yom that is ever shalom, that will never.
Shalom. This is Steve McConnell, and you're listening to my dear friend Ethel Chadwick's Bagels and Blessings.
And now here's Paul Wilbur. Why should I be afraid?
It's not by power, it's not by your own might, but it's by my Spirit, says the Lord. Oh, 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 oh.
and all who call upon the Lord shall be saved. Sometimes when you just don't have the right words, whoa, 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 whoa.
And now it's time for my interview with Philip Cohen. Enjoy, darling, enjoy. Philip Cohen, welcome to Bagels and Blessings.
Thank you.
I am just so thrilled. I met so many really cool people at the Messiah Conference this past summer, and I remember just going around writing a bunch of people's names down and phone numbers, and you were someone that was on my list, so it was your turn.
Right. Well, let's invite the Lord to be into this one.
Amen. Amen. Lord, we just ask that you come in and bless this conversation and bless our words. And may we say only the things that are pleasing to you, Adonai, in Yeshua's name. Amen. Amen. So, Philip, while I might know a little bit about your background, having read your book, which we will talk about, for the benefit of our listeners, can you tell us whether you were raised in a typical Jewish or non-Jewish home?
It was Jewish. I was told that we came from the tribe of Levi. And I was born in 1949 in Chicago in a very anti-Semitic world. But my parents sent me to synagogue, but they themselves weren't very Jewish. I was more Jewish by name. But we were taught that you're Jewish, you have to be better than people. It was a very corrupt form of Judaism, I guess, but they sent me to synagogue and to Hebrew school, and I thought Judaism was beautiful. But I came to a point in life where it just wasn't filling me.
And did you ever have any friends that talked about Jesus, or that came much later?
No, it came later, and the people who talked about Jesus I thought were pretty weird. You know, like Jesus freaks in college, and they just seemed to have like a candy-coated smile on their faces. But by that time, I was so wounded by the Jewish world that was so corrupt. My dad was an extremely violent man. My earliest memories are waking up listening to my mother screaming for help, or her gurgling because he was choking her, and then him dragging me out of bed and beating me, and that was the world I knew. But also living in a world where Jewish people were hated by so-called Christians. I mean, I got beat up by church-going Christians, so it was going to take a lot more than that to convince me to come to Jesus.
Well, sure, I would imagine that your self-image, your self-esteem was just at its lowest point ever in those years, wasn't it?
Yeah, and then I became like my dad in my teens. I was homeless, and I took a lot of drugs. I counted about 300 times, more or less, that I took LSD, and I shot everything I could into my veins. And I'm really a living miracle that I'm even alive at age 74.
Oh, wow. You were really searching, weren't you? You were searching for peace and searching for happiness, and I would imagine you were looking for ways to get rid of the pain.
Yeah, that was it. So we were living in Miami, and I had a new sports car, and we had a house with a swimming pool and fruit trees, and I had a lot of girlfriends, and I was going to school, and a big allowance, and there was still something empty in me. And I told my parents, there's got to be something better, and my mother said, well, you're just going through a stage, and you'll outgrow it. And I quoted the Peter and Gordon song that said, I don't care what they say, I won't stay in a world without love. I just said, there's got to be something better. In the back of my mind, the word God came there, but I didn't want to say it. And so I left home. I went up to Chicago and lived with my grandmother for a while, and I lost a couple jobs. My grandmother accused me of being a communist. I was, by then I was doing drugs, and I was very strongly into the hippie movement. And then my grandmother kicked me out. I lost a couple jobs. They called me communist, and I met a couple hippies who were wandering through, and I decided to drop out, and I'm just going to do my search there.
So you became a wandering Jew.
I was, yeah. It was kind of like Abraham. I went out. I didn't know where I was going. Only, I don't know if Abraham was strung out on drugs when he went out, but I'm sure he left a land where there was a lot of a messy place, where there was a lot of idolatry and spiritual confusion.
Wow. For a man that endured so much abuse and was not encouraged or shown much love, what did it take for you to realize that there was a God who loved you in spite of everything?
Well, I didn't know, Ethel. I just said, if it's not out there, I'm going to die searching. And so I didn't know. I told people, if it's not out there, if it is out there, I'm going to find it. And I think I'm going to know what it looks like when I find it. But if I don't, I don't want to be alive in this world. I want to die. So I was homeless. There were times when I almost got killed. I overdosed on drugs. And yeah, it was kind of a dangerous thing. A lot of people would try to travel with me, and they realized the intensity of it. They couldn't handle it. So they dropped back and it just traveled alone.
So sounds like you were going nowhere fast. What finally made your life change and turn around?
Well, there were a couple of things. First of all, I went to school in Mexico, and I was going through the countryside of Mexico, and I saw peasants who were happy, and it blew my mind. I just wept, because I thought, you know, pursuing wealth, women, just pursuing stuff and positions, that's where happiness was. And I saw these happy people who had nothing. But then I wandered in when I was hitchhiking, and I'd taken a side trail because I'd been hitchhiking down old 66. And I'd taken a side trail. Somehow I ended up in Farmington, New Mexico. And I spent a few days in a home with a family where I saw what I was looking for. And they loved each other, and I could just see it. And the father stayed up late at night with me and told me that you can't have this unless you find God. And I didn't want God. So I left and I went to California, came back. But there was this wall I was against. And then somehow we found it again after I met Jenna. Actually, this is going to be our 40th anniversary on Saturday, but we met more than 50 years ago. We've been searching, and we found it again in a church in Tennessee. And God gave me another obstacle. He said, you can't have love at home without God, and you can't have God without Jesus, Yeshua. And that was a huge chasm for me to cross. And my conversion in 1974, I was back in the woods. I was 7 miles from the nearest road. And I just encountered God. I had been hadn't been around anybody for a few days. And I got down on my knees, and I just said, I don't want Jesus, because of the way the Christians have treated Jews. But I just need you, God. I saw how dirty I was and how beautiful God was. And I said, if that's the only way to accept me, I'll accept him. And it was like a peace washed over me. God was easy to negotiate with. And I can't look at any other moment in my life. It took about a minute and a half where everything changed. And then I lived happily ever after, right? Not really, but it's just been a real journey through a lot of fake religion and really trying, really searching for the God who heals. Because I knew two things. There's two things I know, that when I find the real Jesus, it's going to be healing. And it's going to be people who love each other. And it's going to be on the Word of God as the authority.
So did you find the real Yeshua, the real Jesus?
I'm finding. I'm still dealing with a lot of woundedness, but I don't know where else to go. So I've had seasons of healing, and then I've had seasons of affliction. But I'm really at the point now where when Yeshua told them that you're following me because of the benefits, the earthly benefits, but you're going to have to eat me and drink me. In other words, you're going to have to embrace my suffering, and you're going to have to suffer. And they just said, we don't know where else to go, because many left. And there's many times when I get to that place where I go, I don't know where else I'm going to go. And so I've had seasons of peace and healing, and then I've had seasons of incredible affliction. But one time somebody asked me, I'm a visionary, and somebody asked me, do you see yourself healed? And I just prayed, and I saw myself healed. And then I realized I was in heaven and Jesus was holding me. So I don't want to say that there's no pain and it's a happily ever after life, but I am saying that there's no one else. I haven't found anywhere else to follow. And I'm firmly convinced that following Yeshua, the word of God, in authenticity with fellowship with others and honest prayer is all I have.
Praise the Lord. So what would you say to somebody listening to this podcast that is currently suicidal, depressed, and feeling completely worthless, like there's no hope? What would you say to them?
Mm-hmm. You know, I've been that place many times. In fact, I'm not in a place now where I'm suicidal, but there's times when I go, I want God to take my life. I'm smart enough to know that my life's in his hands. And I would just say, cry out to God from where you are and he will hear you. I've just seen it happen so many. I've seen so many miracles of people crying out and him just intervening and stopping, sending a person. You don't know how he's going to do it because he's God.
True.
And that would be my best advice is no matter whether you're in a mosque or in a synagogue or in a prison cell, or buried alive, or whatever it is, wherever you are, just cry out to God, and he will come through for you.
Amen. Wouldn't you say it's hard sometimes to see yourself the way the Lord sees you?
Yeah, it's because my emotions are so damaged from my childhood, and then I've been through some cultic stuff, and a religious cult where there was a lot of abuse, and I'm kind of I'm an easy person to hurt. I get in and I the psychologists call me a super empath. And I have to keep going back to believing what the word says instead of believing what my feelings are telling me.
Ah, good point. Well, you've written about your life in an amazing book called Jesus Shines Through. And I was wondering if you can tell us how long did it take to write this book and how can people get a hold of it?
Well, I started journaling in 1969 and I've written just about every day since then. And I published some books and some blogs and devotionals. But I actually started on Jesus Shines Through in about 2000. And a friend of mine who's was in the publishing business and been encouraging me to keep at it. And so a number of times I would start and I would work on it and I would try to launch it and God said no. And then finally last year, we just felt like it was time to launch it and release it. So it is what it is. We're at peace with it. But before that, we weren't. In fact, we ran it by 13 publishers and they all rejected it a few years ago. There was a best-selling author who had helped me with it. To find the book, just type in JesusShinesThrough.com or go to Amazon.
Well, I've really been enjoying reading it, but also saddened that a sweet man such as yourself had to go through all of those horrors. However, you know, it's made you what you are today. And because of all that you've been through, your desire is to help others heal, isn't it?
Yeah, that seems to be an anointing God's put on me. I work with a lot of like drug addicts and people who are just way on the bottom. And my father, when I was growing up, he told me I was going to die in a gutter. And it seems like God has sent me back to the gutter to find some of the most broken people. And I just through my suffering and by walking with Yeshua through my suffering, I'm able to help them meet them where they are and help them bring healing. And so I work with drug and alcohol rehab in St. Louis. I've been doing some work in Mozambique and Zimbabwe and Honduras. And it just seems to be where God sends me.
I'm sure he is really proud of what you're doing.
I feel that, you know.
And it's important knowing your background, knowing that you grew up not hearing those words, just to know that God is, you know, God sees what you're doing and he has to just be so pleased that you are helping others and that your desire is to make others stronger and help those that are suffering in ways that you suffered. I know that God must be so very proud of you, and I just wanted to make sure that you knew that.
Yeah, and just to keep hearing from God. And I surrounded myself with several godly people who hold me accountable to make sure that I'm not suffering because I'm a jerk. And to make sure that there's nothing, you know, there's no pornography or hidden addictions in my life, but that the suffering is truly because of I'm following him.
That's true. Now, you got into woodworking a little bit too. Are you still doing that?
No, I sold my company to two of my sons a couple of years ago in 21. But woodworking was a healing journey for me because I could work with my hands and see, you know, the abstract world, it's like, who agrees with each other? And you can't find reality. But when I built a table, we all could agree it was a table, and it gave me some stability. And to be able to work with my hands and build something tangible and then actually made people happy and got paid for it, that was a miracle. And I started building in a neighbor's pig pen, actually, building porch swings. And then we got married, and half of our house was our wood shop, and we made wooden toys. And it grew into a multi-million dollar national company where we were building cabinets all over the country and employing mostly felons and recovering drug addicts. And they came and their lives got changed.
Wow. You know, I hate to sound so cliche, but, you know, you were handed a bunch of lemons and you made lemonade.
Yeah. Just the seed has to be broken and fall into the ground before it can grow. And just learning more and more what that really means, where he said, without me, you can do nothing. Like, what part of nothing don't we understand?
You know, Philip, your life could have turned out so differently. It could have just gone, it could have just continued to spiral down and down. And it's just wonderful and encouraging to see how the Lord pulled you up out of the miry clay. It reminds me of, I think it's Psalm 40, you know, that you waited desperately for the Lord. He heard your cry. He set your feet upon the rock. He pulled you out of the miry clay. Many will see, many will fear, many will trust in, or what is it? He put a new song in your mouth. Many will see, many will hear, many will trust in the Lord. It just reminds me of that. You know, he pulled you up out of the miry clay. You could have just been stuck or sunk, but he pulled you up. It's just so wonderful to hear your story, and I hope that others are as blessed as I have been.
Well, I would have been dead probably. My grandfather died at 41 from a heart attack. I had two uncles. My grandfather murdered one of them when he was 6 months old.
Oh.
My other uncle died when he was 37, and my father died at 49 with a bullet in his head. So I'm 73, and so I would have ended up that way. It's just, I'm living on God's time. And it's one thing I want to encourage is that, you know, that the psalm, to cry out to God from the depths, there's never going to be a time. You're going to have good seasons, like it says in Ecclesiastes, or if you have good days, remember the dark days, there will be many. And there's never going to be a time where you're going to open the Bible and those psalms of crying out from the depths are gone. They're still there. So there's going to be the ups and downs. But Ecclesiastes tells us that good things and bad things happen to everybody. But just knowing that we're in God's hands, that's all that we've got sometimes. Just knowing that we're obeying God and the hope of the resurrection is what we've got, whether we're in pain or not. I had written a book about some missionaries in Nicaragua back in the 90s. And back then I was going through a hard time. And the missionary told me God would heal me someday. And so I just told God, if you heal me, I'll give my life to healing others. And that's what our company was a platform for healing people. But as I've gone through some sorrows in the last few years, I've gone through a lot of that pain again. And I was actually at the Jerusalem wall in November of 22. And I prayed to God. I said, God, even if you don't heal me, I'm still going to be faithful and I'm still going to give my life to healing others.
Oh, praise God. Well, before we end our time together, how would you like us to be praying for you?
To stay faithful to the end. I'm seeing there's such a dark cloud that I see. I'm seeing so many people who are falling away. And I think this is just my assumption, that the scriptures that talk about the last days and the great falling away also could be referring to the latter days of our lives. And I see so many people who they're compromising, they're committing adultery, their marriages are falling apart, they're turning to drugs, or they're just basically just shutting down in like 3 seconds, quitting. And they're just to endure to the end, no matter what.
Amen. May it be so in the name of Yeshua. I have just so enjoyed getting to know you and reading your book. And I encourage others, look up Jesus Shines Through by Philip Cohen.
Yeah. Just remember, he's the light, not me. So that's when it gets dark, look to the light.
Amen. Amen. Well, thank you so much for being my guest on Bagels and Blessings. And I hope that we can stay in touch. And I can't wait to hear how God is continuing to use you, Philip.
Thanks, Ethel.
You're welcome. So I'll say shalom for now. That was my interview with Philip Cohen. I hope you enjoyed that. I am so glad that you're listening to Bagels and Blessings today. We do have time for one more song. Let me see what I can come up with. Here's Jonathan Sattel, Ani Ma'amin, I Believe.
Yeah. Yivarechech Adonai Vayismorecha Yair Adonai Panav Alecha Vikunecha Yisa Adonai Panav Alecha V'yasem Lecha Shalom.
Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make His face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you His peace. This is Ethel Chadwick saying Shalom Alechem, peace be with you. Remember, every day of your life is an opportunity to be a blessing to someone. Thank you so much for listening to Bagels and Blessings. Shalom.